Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story. We would love to hear from you. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email Jenny your audio file if you're recording it on your phone overseas and you don't want to call the number long distance. You should email it over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. A new episode of Seeing Ghosts, episode 9 out now.
Nine?
Nine.
Wow, it seems like just the other day you were working on number 3.
I know. It's episode 9, okay. And there's some very interesting stuff on it. You can see it on our EPP website, ghostpodcast.com. One of those perks of being an EPP, you get to see all those episodes. And in episode 9, there is my favorite one is a gentleman's security camera that he has in his house.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking down, and it kept getting triggered by something. And it wasn't his cat, because it shows his cat sleeping, not moving. But then you see this weird kind of, I guess, all you can say is like it has the shape of a small plume of smoke, but not the movements of a plume of smoke. It almost looks like, it looks ghostly.
Uh-huh.
It's a clear kind of whitish, and it kind of moves around in with an intended direction.
Okay.
And on the video that we show on the new episode of Seeing Ghosts, as it leaves the screen, suddenly there's digital interference on the camera, and it goes back to normal. It's very, very bizarre. He sent me several of them. Many of them have the exact same sort of smoke type plume, and it moves in different directions and places. The one I showed on the episode, though, he's the only one that had the digital interference on it, but there's something there.
Yeah.
Says it hasn't happened since, but for a couple days it was doing this, and then it stopped.
So, true story, I was just out and about shopping and had something strange happen.
What happened?
Okay, I was at my favorite store, which is TJ Maxx,
mm-hmm.
and I was walking by one of the areas that's pretty close to where you park the carts.
Okay.
And Harper was in the cart with me. Anyway, we were walking by, and there was nobody else around. And no joke, one of the carts, like, backed up like somebody was getting it to go shop. It came out from being, like, pushed into the other cart. It, mm-hmm. like, backed up and kind of wheeled to the side.
So it didn't just, like, roll out?
No.
Well, that's exciting.
And it was like, that just happened. Okay, that was weird.
Even the dead enjoy shopping and getting a good deal.
Yeah, that's totally going to be me.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was weird.
And nothing else was kind of done then?
Well, it just, if it just like rolled back, that'd be one thing.
Sure.
But it like went back and then like turned to the side.
Like with intent?
Yes.
Well, that's creepy.
Like it was getting ready to go up, mm-hmm. and down the purse aisle.
It's good. Yeah, jeez.
Yeah.
Was this in the parking lot or
no, this is in the store.
Oh God, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost picturing cart corral.
No, this is like, you know, where the carts are kind of by the front door.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like all the carts were pushed in, mm-hmm. like to each other. And you know how sometimes they get stuck and they're difficult?
Mm-hmm.
It came undone, wheeled back, and then like wheeled to the side. It was like, that is the weirdest thing.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And we don't live in a land with earthquakes anymore either.
No.
So that kind of rules that one out.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. How do you feel about shopping there now?
I'll still shop there. It's just some, old lady ghost that just wants to check out shoes. So
there you go. All right. That's exciting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I wish I had more encounters.
I just figure a demon's not going to mess with a grocery cart.
You're probably pretty safe there.
Yeah.
Probably. Marshall's, though. That's where it gets totally.
Could be.
No, I'm kidding. Let's go to Josh in Kentucky. Hi.
Hey, guys. It's me again, Josh from Louisville, Kentucky. I thought you had a couple stories, so I was just calling back today with another one. Like I said before, I'm originally from Bardstown, Kentucky, a very ghost-centric town, very a lot of the tourism centers around either the bourbon or the ghost and the haunted locations in town. So growing up, I've had a lot of experiences in the older buildings. The town itself was established in the late 1700s, and a lot of the buildings, the original foundation, the original building bones, as it were. A lot of the good chunks of downtown have a lot of stories, which is one of the stories I'm going to tell you today. I have there's a tavern that's dead in the center of town called Tabard Tavern. It was partially destroyed by a fire in the mid to late 90s, but before it was partially destroyed, it was a much more open bed and breakfast. It's still kind of a bed and breakfast slash pub, but it's just a good chunk of the upstairs is shut down due to the damage from the fire. But anyway, before this fire had happened, I had some cousins from Canada come down to visit us one summer, and we were telling them stories about how Jesse James, the infamous outlaw, used to frequent this establishment when he was alive. And one of the rooms still had the bullet holes in the wall where he would get drunk and shoot at the mural on the wall. Now, even when Jesse James was around, there was a lot of strange occurrences that no one could fully explain. And there's even, like, records of him talking to the innkeep and the barkeep about voices and footsteps and strange shadows and such and the like and so on and so forth. So anyway, my cousins are in town spending a couple weeks with us, and so we decided to take them to the tavern to just kind of walk around and show them everything and show them how, you know, the old original rooms where people from the late 1800s or the late 1700s all the way up into the late 1800s would come and stay, and not much renovations had been made outside of, like, modern appliances and stuff like that, like TVs and phones and stuff. But the beds were pretty close to the same, at least the same bed frames, all that good stuff. Anyway, so the way that it's built is that the upstairs is one giant U with rooms all around, just kind of like a, you know, an old-timey hotel type thing with stairs that lead down into the kitchen, which leads into the bar area, which leads into the main. So, it's probably dusk. It's not quite nighttime. My cousins and I are upstairs. My aunts and uncles and my parents are downstairs talking and having a few drinks. And in the upstairs part, at the far end of the opposite hallway from where you come up where the stairs are, is a service door that goes straight directly into the staff kitchen. But it cannot be opened from the outside without a key. You have to have a staff key to get in. Like from the hallway, you can't get in without a staff key. So I'm standing there in the hallway talking to my cousin, telling them stories that I've been told about, you know, visitors and how past presidents like Lincoln and such and so forth have come and stayed in this tavern, and telling stories of how other people that I've known have told me at this point. Now, at this time, I'm probably not much older than 11 or so. So I'm a kid, and I have quite the imagination. However, I did have a cousin that was considerably older with me, who's very skeptical, but this particular night changed her mind. As we're talking, she notices that there's a shape at the end of the hallway that seems to, it looks like a shadow of a man. Like I said, it's dusk, and there's no lights on in the hallway yet, so everything's kind of very shadowed, very veiled looking, and she sees the shadow, and she pays no attention to it, and she doesn't mention it to us at all, of course, first. And as she's talking, she realizes that the shadow is moving from the end of the hall, continuously getting closer to us down the hall. So eventually, it gets within 10 or 15 feet away from us, starting, closer to 30 to 40 feet away. And she brings it to our attention. Of course, we all move out into the main entry hallway where you come up the stairs. And as soon as we all walked into there, all the lights in the hallway came on because they're on an automatic darkness sensor. They all came on, but then they all of a sudden they just all went out, and you heard the light bulbs breaking. And at the same time, you heard someone in the staff kitchen scream. So we run downstairs, and we realized that there was a brand new staff member that had seen what looked like an older gentleman in a duster cloak with a cowboy hat standing in the kitchen watching her. And as she described the way that the man looked, realized that it was the same silhouette that my cousin saw upstairs on the shadow on the wall. So I don't know if that's related or not. However, my parents looked into this a little bit more just to see what kind of stories would come from this. Apparently, when the tavern was first built, there was a small cult that was linked to the paranormal in the early 1800s, and they had basically attempted to commune with what they believed to be a evil spirit or a demon, and they had essentially carved messages into the framework of the building without anyone knowing. So now there's a local legend. It's called the aptly named the Black Shadow Man at the end of the hallway, and most visitors see either the shadow of what looks to be a cowboy, but some see a larger beast. Some see a more animated-looking, scary-looking creature-type beast, or maybe a large dog or a deer even. Some have claimed for a goat. All these things, are linked back to demonic or satanic, almost, origin. So anyway, that's basically it. I personally didn't see the shadow, but my cousin, who was a skeptic at the time, thought we all saw all the lights go out, and we saw the frantic staff member freak out about the shadow man. I don't know. It's crazy stuff that's always happening. That's just one of many things that have happened in Nelson County and Bardstown, Kentucky. I still got plenty of stories, and I would love to keep telling them. You guys are doing a great job on the show. Like I said, I'll become a member here soon. I love listening to you guys. I'm glad I discovered you, and you'll be hearing from me soon.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. We do greatly appreciate that. It's interesting with all the stuff that was going on, from the lights to the shadows to everything else. Obviously, truly does give you quite a sense that there was something paranormal going on, and obviously you don't necessarily need reconfirmation of that with all of the things that were going on. But sometimes when you have all those things in tandem accompanying one another, it just gives it that much more validity, if you will, or that much more behind it to understand that, in fact, yes, there is something, and it's not just one thing or the other. Thank you for that story. Let's go to Elizabeth in Pennsylvania. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Elizabeth. I'm calling from Exton, PA, and I just have a quick ghost story to tell you today. It's actually two, but they're connected, and they're not my own. They belong to my boyfriend, and they take place in Kutztown, PA, which is about an hour from me. So anyways, I'm just going to get on with my story. And so my boyfriend is a pretty big hunter, and in the winter, he likes to go predator hunting. So one night, he and his buddy go out to hunt, and they go to this little Civil War graveyard, because I guess it was, a pretty good spot that the foxes, like to hang around, which is creepy in itself, going to a little graveyard in, the middle of a field at night, because that's when you do predator hunting. You go at night. So that's just creepy in itself. But anyways, so they're at their spot, and they're, there for a while, and then all of a sudden, the temperature drops, and it gets really, really cold. And they kind of thought that was a little bit weird that the temperature would drop so suddenly, but they brushed it off because they're like, well, it's winter. It's gonna, the temperature's gonna change. So they just brushed it off and, kept sitting there. And a couple minutes later, my boyfriend said that he heard just the deepest voice he's ever heard in his life right next to his ear say, leave you two. And at this point, he looks over at his buddy and he was like, did you hear that? And his buddy was like, yeah, what did you hear? And my boyfriend goes, leave you two. And my boyfriend's buddy was like, yep. And they grabbed their gear and they hightailed it out of there. And I don't think they've been back there since. Now, they have permission to hunt on this land. So it's not like the farmer would have snuck up on them and been like, leave you two. So I don't know. I don't know what that was. But anyways, so the story that is connected to that is my boyfriend's father is also quite a hunter, and they use trail cameras. And just, if you don't know what that is, it's just a little camera. It's motion censored, and you set it up. It's there year round, and it just takes videos and pictures of any kind of animal that's going to be around your area that you choose to hunt, just so you know what you're dealing with. Now, there was something wrong with this chip that it just got really full, I think in like a day or something like that. So his father went out to the camera, took the little chip and brought it home, plugged it into his computer so we could see what was going on. Now we're all kind of just gathered around the kitchen table, just watching. And the first thing that pops up is a video. So he clicks on the video and it's getting later in the day in the video. And so it's a little bit darker, but we can make out what's on the screen, and all of a sudden it just looks like two little orbs pop up and they come kind of rushing towards the screen, and then they break away from each other. One goes up around the camera, the other one goes kind of to the left and around the camera. After they're gone from the scene, the video stops, and then apparently the camera just, started spit firing, taking picture after picture of just nothing. And these cameras, like I said, are motion censored, and so they shouldn't just be taking pictures of just nothing. There has to be something in front of it. So I just thought it was a little bit weird. This camera, I forgot to say, is just a few yards away from this Civil War graveyard that my boyfriend heard leave you to. So just, a few yards away, this camera set up, and these orbs kind of just fly up to the screen, go around it, video stops, and then boom, just picture after picture after picture of just nothing. I don't know. It kind of creeped me out a little bit. I, for one, think that there's something there that does not want anybody else there, and he's making it known. He's not going to let your camera work, and he's going to just talk in your ear until you're gone. So I would love to know what you guys make of that. What you think is going on there. I definitely think it's haunted, and I for sure won't go there, and I don't think my boyfriend's been back. So that's my story for today. I hope I didn't ramble on too much. I want to definitely write in later, because my poor boyfriend, he actually lives in the haunted house. So he's around this all the time. The couple that lived in his house prior to him, actually both wife and husband, passed away inside the house. I'm not sure what happened to the wife, but I know for sure the husband had a heart attack in the kitchen, and he actually passed away at the kitchen table, which is really sad. But the wife's clothing is actually still up in the attic. We don't want to touch it or get rid of it because we don't want to anger her. We don't want any bad feelings, because she's a nice ghost right now. She doesn't do anything bad. She's a little creepy, and she does kind of mischievous things every now and then that kind of make it uneasy. So I will definitely write in those stories a little bit later if you would like to hear them. So anyways, I hope you guys have a great day or night whenever you're listening to this. I love your show. I listen every single day. I even re-listen to stories I've heard already once or twice. So I really do enjoy it. So I hope you like my story, and I will write in later. Bye.
I gotta know why the previous owner's clothes are still up in the attic.
Could it just be they didn't want them anymore?
I don't know. Maybe it's they're renting the house from the family, and the family's just storing the stuff up there.
I mean, yeah, that stuff does happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes they're simpler. I'm not discounting any of the ghost stuff she talked about, but sometimes there are simpler explanations for some of that stuff. As creepy and weird as it is, mm-hmm. sometimes it's just like, well, that's what they did. You know, they didn't really think much of it. You know, it's been like some of the Hotel Hell episodes where, like, the person who's, like, running the hotel, they have, like, their clothes locked away in a closet that guests are staying in.
In that room,
yeah. It's weird and bizarre, but there's really nothing more than just human stupidity involved mm-hmm. in the decision. But the other stuff there, I mean, it's very weird. I mean, hearing that voice of what she said at the beginning, I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was something to the effect of, not together, or something about them being together.
Uh-huh.
It makes you wonder if there's something there. We've seen this before, where there's something trying to get between the relationship, or if the ghost has an interest in one of them.
Yeah, or feels like they have more power if they separate the two.
Mm-hmm. Which could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could very well be the case. Good story, though, nonetheless. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. Let's go over to, Joanna in California. Hi.
Hi, Jenny and Tony. My name's Joanna. I'm calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I actually called a couple days ago with a story, and then I remembered that I had one more, and I thought you might enjoy it. So a few years ago, I guess I should start with my family owns a restaurant, and we work really late evening. So often we get off work around 1 or 2 in the morning, sometimes 2 or 3 if there's a really late party. And because I'm a good Samaritan, I offer people rides if it's really late, if they normally walk or bus, because, you know, late night, you don't know what's going to happen. And this time, it was my sister and I were driving home, and I offered a ride to one of our friends who was a dishwasher at the time. And we're driving him home, and we get to a four-way stop. And we see that a car is just kind of idling at the stop to our right, and there's no one in the car. Like, it's just an empty car that's on, and I thought, you know, like, Winnipeg gets a lot of snow, and at the time it was winter, so I thought maybe being out inside waiting for their car to heat up, because that's something that we do here. And then there's a car that approaches from my left side, and we both kind of just sit there because we're not quite sure what's going to happen with the other car, because I wasn't sure if they were going to, you know, come out and get out, because they were right at the end of the stop sign, and it's kind of an illegal place for you to heat up your car. And the other car, I guess, got impatient and drove forward. And their headlights hit the windshield of the other car. And there was no face there. And then all of a sudden, there was a pale girl's white face. And she looked scared, like as if something terrible was going to happen. And then the car drove by. And while the headlights were still on the window, the girl disappeared right before our eyes, and there was the three of us in the car, and we all saw it. And it was almost as if she had been looking down at her phone and then looked up, was terrified, and then her head looked down again. And then when that car passed by, the car was no longer on, and it was just sitting there. Like, it was just an off, like a car that had, you know, no lights, there was no ignition or anything, and the car was empty. And we drove by really slow to see if there was anyone in the car, and there was no one in the car. And we were all just so shocked, like the three of us, we were just sitting in the car, terrified after we parked kind of right in front of the car. My friend got out to see if there was anyone in the car, and there was no one there. And I have no idea what it was that was in the car. It just looked like this girl had a moment of panic and terror, and then she was gone. And I don't know if maybe she had this moment of panic before she passed on, if it was a spirit, or maybe it's something that was trying to mess with us. We weren't quite sure. Anyway, so that's our story. I hope You got a kick out of it. We definitely did. We talk about it all the time because it was such a weird occurrence. And I have a couple more stories. I can call back another time. But thanks so much for listening, and your show is really great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the story. We do greatly appreciate that, Joanna. The idea of going and checking on a vehicle where suddenly the engine, you know, turns on, the lights turn on, it starts to operate. And then you go and take a look and there's no one there. Now, it could be explained, you know, somewhat where you can go, well, maybe someone had a remote start or someone had this or that. But again, what's the make, the model of the car? Some, you know, that can be narrowed down pretty quickly. And usually someone else will be around if that's going to happen. There are flukes where things like this can happen with technology. There's ways now, if you lose your keys or lock your keys in the car or something, you can call up the maker of the car, their hotline or whatever. They can actually remotely sometimes turn the car on just by telephone. Is that the case here, though? I don't think so. I wanted to throw the semi-rational explanation out there. Semi-rational? Sure. Logical? Not so much. Great story, though, Joanna. We really, really, really do appreciate that that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller, Dano in Utah. Hi.
Hey, Tony. This is Dano calling again from Brigham City, Utah. It's been a while since I've tried to contact you guys. I wrote you a letter not too long ago telling you about the landlord experiencing something in the house that we were staying in, but I don't know if you have gotten to it or read it, but I sent it. So an update on life and things that have been going on. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. It's going to be really long, and I'm so sorry, but I have to share it from the beginning to now because everything adds up to why things have been happening to my family and I. So, I'll go quick. A bunch of friends and I were camping about 7 years ago, and we made a Ouija board, and we brought it up to the campsite with us. We end up playing it later on that night. We come in contact with this young girl who says that her family and her were mauled by a bear, and she eventually died. And it makes a lot of sense because up in these mountains, you know, there's things that people pretend aren't there, but they are, as in bears, mountain lions, stuff like that. So, we keep talking to this girl, and our friend had left earlier in the night before we started playing. So we start asking questions, and then we come to a question. We're like, hey, where is our friend? She gives us an address. We all look at each other. We end up getting up and leaving to go find this address. We find the address in Brigham City after we left the campsite. We found the address, and believe it or not, he was outside smoking a cigarette, and he told us that he had family issues that he had to take care of, and there was no family there. So we were kind of upset with him, but at the same time, it was really cool to have that experience and to know where he was, even though none of us have ever been to this house ever. So we end up going back up to the campsite, you know, and, you know, turning in, going to bed. And the mistake that I know from what I hear about a bunch of paranormal things is that you have to close the circle, and we didn't. We just left because we wanted to hurry up and see if he was still there. So we never closed it. The next day, we come home, and I bring the Ouija board, and I put it under my bed for safekeeping, so, you know, next time we can play it or whatever. About 4 days later, I bring my girlfriend over, and my band is there jamming, you know, music and stuff. So, and then after we have the idea, hey, let's play this Ouija board because we had an experience last week about it, so let's try to play it. We start playing the Ouija board again, and starts going crazy, and believe it or not, this girl starts talking to us again. She's connected to me in my house, I believe, because I have the Ouija board under my bed. And all of a sudden, my girlfriend starts feeling something on the back of her neck, like a scratch. So we look, and there's nothing, and then all of a sudden, a symbol falls on the back of her head, and cuts her neck, which is really weird because she was feeling the pain before. So she ended up leaving, crying, and never coming back to my house because of this situation. She broke up with me. Maybe a little while longer later, it kind of settled down. Nothing ever really happened until I had a friend over, and he was hanging out. He goes outside to go smoke a cigarette, and he hears this girl's voice in his ear say, "My name, Dano." He comes in freaking out, and this guy is the guy that never is scared of anything, and he was terrified. He heard my name in his ear from a girl, and so he comes and tells me that, and you know, we talk about it and let it go by. Moving forward, later on in life, like a few months later, we end up having this band come over that we played a show with. And they come over, you know, we give them a place to sleep for the night. And they have a singer that was there. She was a woman. And me and her start hitting it off really well. She's a really great woman. She was really nice. She had a great singing voice. And we took pictures all together. And I know this sounds weird, but she was the only girl there. And the next day, my friend was looking through his phone because I told him, "Hey, send me those pictures from last night from the show." Sends me the picture, and there's this girl standing on the side. And I have contacted my friend from back then to see if he still has a photo, maybe saved to his email. I'm hoping, because he had it on his MySpace once upon a time, so that's why I'm hoping that he still has it. And I'm waiting on a response from him. So if that comes in, I will definitely send it as soon as I can. I know when people say that, people are like, left, "Oh, this sucks. I want to listen to it, or I want to see it now." You know, and I am really trying. I'm trying to get it from my friend. But there's this girl standing in the corner next to her, looking at her, smiling. And it's weird because her whole body is blurry. You can tell she's wearing kind of like a white gown, but not really. It's more of a dress, but it's portrayed as a gown. And she has long blondish brown hair. And she, in the picture looking at her, you can tell she's smiling because you can see the smile, you know, through the blurriness. So after that situation, I had a girl over once upon a time, you know, watching movies, and I start telling her, "Yeah, there's this jealous ghost and all this stuff," and you know, I don't believe it. All of a sudden we hear a boom 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 on the wall in the other room, and there's something happening right now. Sorry, that kind of just freaked me out. I just heard knocking on my window, which I don't know. So to move forward, she leaves, and it's about 3 months before my family is moving out of this house, and I'm sitting in my room with my dog, and he starts scratching at the door like he needs to go to the bathroom. So I take him outside, and he doesn't go to the bathroom, but I bring him back in. I'm filling up his bowl. He's standing at the top of the stairs looking down, kind of like mesmerized with something on the bottom, which there is nothing. So I'm being that weird person, I'm like, "Oh, I'm gonna go look down. There's gonna be somebody down there," you know, to try to scare myself. I look down there, and there's a girl standing half in, half out of the room that my band would usually practice in, and she goes into the room. That was the last time I stayed downstairs. Another time, it's like maybe a couple days before we were moving out, I'm downstairs packing. My ex-girlfriend came over down the stairs, you know, the back to a stairs, and then there's a window that you can see in. There's a stairway that comes down, and it looks into that living room where the band would practice, and down the hallway. She went down there. She was going to come in, and she saw a girl, thinking it was my sister, but she could tell it wasn't my sister, and it freaked her out, and she left, and I didn't hear from her ever again for like a week. And then she finally contacted me and told me she saw a girl at the bottom of the stairs that scared her, and that's why she stopped talking to me and eventually broke up with me. So a lot of things have happened which just freak me out, and I just don't really understand how things can happen that way. And I'm sorry, I keep saying "and" because somebody's calling my name right now and trying to ignore them. But move into this new house with my family. And this is maybe 4 years ago now. And moving forward, me and this girl start dating, and she can kind of tell there was something in the house. Like, she would really not like to spend time here, so I actually moved out and moved into her house with her. And things were going great until we started spending more time at my house because, you know, we needed to break from her family. So we started coming back to my house, my parents' house, and then things would happen. But it never really, really fazed me because I was still always in the cupcake phase of being in love. And she said that she has this psychic friend that it'd be nice to go get a cleanse. So we go get a cleanse. And this woman, to bring it all short, she says, my grandmother looks over me, and then she looked beside me for like 5 minutes. She kept looking back and forth. She's like, there's this little girl that's always with you. I don't know if she's a deceased girl that just follows you, or it's maybe future. Maybe this is an unborn child that you don't have yet. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, I looked at the bright side of it because I'm like, wow, I'm going to have a little girl, which is really cool at the time. And I never told my girlfriend because I wanted her to have a secret. But, you know, eventually her and I broken up. And it just always came back. And then all of a sudden I'm realizing that this girl is the girl that the girl saw, the daughter, my little girls, and my girlfriend saw, standing behind me. And it just freaks me out because this girl won't leave me alone. And to the dark figures, I guess when my older sister was living with us at my parents' long while ago, she was attacked by something dark, and this thing stayed with her, and somehow I believe that it came to me, and this thing is attached to the little girl, which is attached to me. So I believe that I am the one who's being attacked, and it's so stressful because every night it's a different thing. I've been setting up cameras, but nothing happens when I set up the cameras. But when I'm not home and gone, nothing happens. But when I'm here, you know, things tend to happen. You know, I'm not gonna record while I'm home. You know, that's weird because I am home, you know, and it's me that's something trying to keep me away from having a happy life. And it really, really, really disappoints me, and it hurts really bad. So to conclude it all, I believe this little girl is now attached with this dark figure, which the dark figure is now attached to me. And the dreams have continued to be terrible. The kids are scared more than ever. I'm pretty sure my girlfriend, my fiance, is going to leave me. And it just, I don't know what to do. I would love for somebody to please just give me more insight and give me something. And I understand, yes, I've told this girl to leave me alone, but nothing is working. And I also have a video from the first house that we were living in to kind of walk you through of the things that happened that I would like to send you guys. Email it. I don't know if you guys like to share it. It's up to you. It's more it's more for your guys' eyes, so you can kind of see the perspective of what we were kind of going through at the time. You know, you can see that our front window, we put cardboard so we couldn't see inside to see something staring back at us. You know, it got that bad. It was just scary. So, thanks for listening. And I'm sorry this was long, but I needed to share the whole story from the beginning till now. And I just hope I can someday just rid of all this. You know, if religion's not helping me, and God, I believe in God, but if he isn't, you know, rebuking this bad spirit, then I don't know what to do. I also have a bunch of other things that have went on in my life in between that, but I kind of just gave you the highlight of the things that had happened to lead up to what I believe is haunting my family now. So thank you for listening. I hope you get this in Yeah, thanks. Bye.
That is one of those stories where I think it's more so just the power of getting the story out there and getting it off your chest where it comes into play than it does my response or Jenny's response, if you will. Because that's one of those stories where there really is no, here's the solution. Not that there is very often, but I would have no idea where to begin as far as how to get that thing away from you. I don't believe it's something that's necessarily of this world at any time. It may take the form, and now you refer to it as it was a little girl or is a little girl. I don't know that that is the case. I think that's the friendly form it takes. But I think it's probably something far, far greater, far, far darker than that. I guess what my suggestion would be, if I were to offer any, maybe just go beyond you know, the religion that you're involved with, as far as just practicing, but maybe involve some of the leaders in your church or whatever it may be, and have a conversation with them about what's going on, and see if that can be amped up a little bit as far as what within your belief system what can be done to try and get some of this eradicated. Now, that still could make it worse. It could, but it's a question more so about how far do you want to go to get this away from you? Thanks for the story. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Let's go to Beth in Florida. Hi, Beth. Let's hear your story.
Hello, this is Beth from Florida, and I just discovered your podcast today on Spotify, and I'm enjoying it. I've had one encounter that I wanted to share. A good 10 years ago, we were in temporary housing between moving out of one house and waiting another one to be built. We were staying in an old condo complex that had been owned by my in-laws. So we had been there before, and we encountered times when you could see that someone was sitting down next to you, glimpses of people in mirrors. Backstory is, when my in-laws were still there, they were babysitting our two, at that point, young girls. And when my husband and I returned from our evening out, their area of the complex was surrounded by emergency vehicles and crime scene tape. We, of course, ran up in a panic, concerned for them, concerned for our girls, only discover that their immediate neighbor, who had been terminally ill, had taken his own life, making that choice, we assume, because of the pain and the future that faced him. They shared a bathroom wall and, I assume, some plumbing with this complex, with this gentleman's condo. That comes into play because, fast forward months later, we have now moved into temporary housing. And when you're in the bathroom, you feel like you're being watched. And if you glanced at the mirror, you'd see this man's face, but only if you saw in the mirror, not if you turned and looked straight on. The more physical manifestation, shall we say, we had, where if you'd be seated on the bed, all of a sudden you would feel that someone was sitting next to you, and beyond that, you could look at the mattress and see the indent of the weight of someone seated next to you. Our small dachshund had to temporarily go live with someone else because he became so frantic living in that house. He would mess, he would bark, he would be frantically, seemingly trying to escape. And one of the last things that we would encounter is that in the middle of the night, lights would go on. And these were, there were some touch lamps in the bedroom, which coincidentally connected to the bathroom in question. And the only way to turn them on was to physically touch them. If our cats bumped against them, they didn't go on. So we would be sound asleep, and all of a sudden lights would go on. Or if you had, if you were in there and the lights were on, all of a sudden lights would go off. So, like I said, we experimented with other things that might be responsible for setting those lamps off and could never find anything beyond the human touch. So those are my encounters at the Ravines condo complex in the rural woods of Northeast Florida. Thank you for listening to my story.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. It kind of makes me wonder about the idea of if you have a place that is haunted, a location that is known to have a lot of activity at it, what if you were to go to that location and put tons and tons of elements around it that are easily accessible to ghosts, if you will? So that would be, for example, touch lamps, motion-sensitive lamps, anything and everything that can be easily manipulated by something without much effort. How active could that place then become? You know, because it's things like that we see with ghost hunters and such, like, okay, activate this, use that. You know, the devices that are used, I'd just be very curious about that. You know, and then I also wonder how often there's places like hotels that have issues with ghosts, where they've had to go and change some fixtures out and things of that nature because they're being activated far too often. And the only way that they could get it under control was if it was an extra step to get it working. Like, touch lamp? Nope. But it gets very hard to move switches or something like that. You know, it makes you wonder. It could very easily go the other way around as well. Well, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please become an EPP. Support it. Keep us on the air. No matter what platform it is you listen to us on, you become an EPP. You get all those bonus episodes right off of our EPP website, ghostpodcast.com. Exclusive video content. Brand new Seeing Ghost episode up there, like I said earlier. Packed with some great stuff. 9 full video episodes now of Seeing Ghosts up for your enjoyment, and like 100, 300, 4 EPP bonus episodes. So you got some good ghost stuff up there. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. So please get on that and help us stay on the air. We can't do this without you. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.